The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother does something wrong, go and have it out with him alone, between your two selves. If he listens to you, you have won back your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you. The evidence of two or three witnesses is required to sustain any charge. But if he refuses to listen to these, report it to the community. And if he refuses to listen to the community, treat him like a pagan or tax collector. I tell you solemnly, whatever you bind on earth shall be considered bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be considered loosed in heaven. I tell you solemnly once again, if two of you on earth agree to ask anything at all, it will be granted to you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three meet in my name, I shall be there with them." The Gospel of the Lord. Trouble and strife. As soon as I read it, I could go back to the Cockney dads. It would say, "Trouble and strife, meet the wife." And you'll remember that now. Trouble and strife. A fact of life. And it was in Bible Alive today that they used it, they quoted it, but along with St. Augustine, who once said, "If ever there was a race that was created for unity, it was the human race. But if ever there was a race created for disunity, it was the human race." Because, as we all know, there's no human community without that disunity. I think it was Friday night, wasn't it, on the news that it said a new world order, and they suddenly changed it, disorder, after the last few days. No human community ever without it. We find it in the workplace, we find it in the family, we find it in the home, we find it in the nation, we find it between nations, we find it between neighbours, between religions, all religions, and within religion, and in every parish and every church community. Because where sin abounds, there does evil and difficulty. But also, so does grace. What matters isn't so much the trouble and the strife, but how we handle it and ultimately resolve it. Quite a lot of us, not all of you, grew up in the 60s. And you remember those times that we lived through, heady times, strange times as well. But we heard a lot about George Orr, not war, war. "And all you need is love," the Beatles sang. Well, the world could do with a bit more of each at the moment. We've seen the NATO meeting in Wales, and that is trying, among many other things, to try and talk rather than war. And yet at the same time, we saw the Ukraine and Russia, and we see equally Iraq and Syria and Gaza. I mean, they say Gaza's peaceful for the moment, but how long will it all last? And the world could do with more of the talking and less of the fighting and more of that love. Which is, of course, what Jesus touches on in the Gospel. And it goes right back, of course, to the Old Testament, because the first sin, as I was speaking to you last week, the pride of Adam and Eve to take over the place of God, and I spoke about the pride and the prejudice last week, so I'm not going over that, but just to reflect on it again. And the second sin, of course, was when Cain murdered his own brother and then tried to disown his responsibility. "Am I my brother's keeper?" Well, the actual answer is yes, you are. If we'd anything to do with God anywhere, because the Gospel, not just the Gospel, the whole of the Scriptures, all Scriptures, challenge us to love God and to love one another. And of course, it doesn't just go to the family or our immediate neighbours, it always widens out to the greater responsibility we have for society, the local community, government, whole of society, the world that is so going wrong. And that fact, I think, screams almost every day when we look at the news. And some say we don't want to look at it. There's a sense in which that's true, but another sense we need to, because we're all affected by it, whether it's just in the local community or a wider. Just driving into St. Ives this morning, there was a trail of destruction. And everybody coming to church said it was like a mad night that a group of whoever it was had. And there was stuff festooned all over, or not just around the church. They said it was all around the town. It affects all of us, whether it's miles away, whether it's just nearby, whether it's in another part of the world, because it's one God, one people, one nation, one community. And so Jesus challenges and says, you need the direct approach. If your brother's offended you or if your sister's offended you, go and sort it out between the two of you. But of course we do sometimes, but sometimes we do it with the, well, Charlie's offended me, Charlie is a clod approach. He's annoyed me, we've flown off the handle about it. He's irritating and eccentric, but we also recognize that we can't go on like that. We must apologize. But we do so with that thought within us, but Charlie's a clod anyway, so what do you expect? And we think that gets us off the hook, but it doesn't, because it's not sorted the thing out. And that's the great problem. Jesus challenging that, and he knows that we might do it directly, but we may not. And that, whoever it is, may not listen. So we widen it out. And sometimes we think we'll suffer, not necessarily in silence. In fact, very often, we let our resentment show by sharing it with everybody else, apart from the one that maybe has offended us. We see that everywhere in life. And that's why that first reading is linked with the gospel. Because Ezekiel's task was trying to warn the people of what was coming. And to remind you that Ezekiel was in Jerusalem, he was speaking to the people of Jerusalem, the community, and he's saying to them, you're in danger from invasion by Babylon. But just as an incident, Babylon today is Iraq. So you can see immediately the link. And I know those of us that went to the Holy Land, and in Bethlehem, there is a museum that has got a little postcard that shows the grabbing of land in a lot of our lifetimes for some of us, those of us about the wartime and just after it, then a lot of land that's been grabbed. And this week, Netanyahu said, because of what had happened, they were going to grab more land. And can they not see what they are doing for the future? Might not be a long future, who knows? But can they not see? And in a way, Ezekiel's task and the task of the watchmen, the sentries, was to warn the people. And the warning signs are all there. And of course, that chain of command, the sentries that Ezekiel was talking about, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And if the weaknesses are weak, then the whole thing begins to unravel and fall apart. And that we can see happening. And there is a sense in which we feel powerless in a lot of the situations going on. Now, I believe Glenys, that many of you will or may not know, is going to talk to us for a few minutes at the end of Mass about something that we can do in that situation. But we all know that sin in different ways affects the whole body. I think maybe because it affected the church so much, child abuse is one of those things as well, but many other issues as well, affects the whole body, the community. That's just one example. But in the last words Jesus speaks, as it were, in his sermon on the Last Judgment, which is the last we bit get on Matthew, we get it on the last Sunday of the year, Christ the King, as he's going then up to Jerusalem. The judge there is asking those brothers and sisters, how did you treat each other? The sins there are recognized by our neglect or our failure to accept responsibility for the neighbor's plight. I speak of the gospel of the sheep, the parable, sorry, of the sheep and the goats. If you did it to the least of one of these mine, you did it to me. And so that challenge is there. We've got to sort out these issues. And St. Paul picks it up, Ezekiel there, warning them. And if they won't be warned, St. Paul says, owe no one anything except to love one another. Because if we love one another, then that cannot harm our neighbour. We see so much harm to neighbours in so many different places going on at the moment. The Christian message has got to be the same. And it is. It's the Lord who's always with us. That's why when we gather in his name, he says he's here with us. That higher gift than grace that to the fight and to the rescue came, Jesus. He is the only answer to all that we're talking about.